Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for listening today, February 20th, 2013. Let me get rid of that music. There we go. The board is driving me crazy. This morning we were doing a show, and his call dropped just about halfway into the show, and we couldn't get her back on. And we're hoping that doesn't happen for this show, because one of my best pals is coming on, Susan Ballard, president of AASL, the American Association of School Librarians. So, Susan, we'll talk about this, but if it happens when you come on, you'll call me right back in. Okay, just nutty today. At any rate, welcome to K-12 Education Talk Radio. So I think the server is going a little nuts today. Okay, and we are thrilled to have Susan with us. She'll be on in just a second. We're going to archive this show at education-talkradio.org, www.education-talkradio.org, which is our website. And we're also going to tweet it out at EduTalk Radio. And if you're not following us, please follow us like the Pied Piper, and we'll follow you in return at EduTalk Radio on Twitter. I'm very excited today. We have a new sponsor and people I know, and I'm thrilled that they're sponsoring today's show, Tales to Go. And that's Tales, T-A-L-E-S, 2, the number 2, Tales to Go, G-O. They know that listening to audiobooks is a great way to get kids excited about and skilled at reading. I love reading. Among the many benefits, listening builds critical fluency, vocabulary, and listening skills. Listening skills, right? In fact, studies show that adding a listening component to reading instruction increases student achievement. Moreover, the Common Core standards, and we're going to talk about that today during the show, outline specific listening requirements in each grade level. So in a world where school libraries are transforming into media centers, feeding desktops and laptops and mobile devices in the classroom and beyond, Tales to Go is the 21st century way to access and play audiobooks. Tales to Go is like a Pandora, okay, a Pandora-like audiobook service for schools, giving educators and students instant and unlimited access to thousands of name brand titles from leading publishers for one low annual price. And with Tales to Go, thousands of students can listen to the same book at the same time. So start a free 30-day trial. You can do that by going to this website, www.talestogo.com. And that's T-A-L-E-S, the number 2, G-O, talestogo.com. And Will, thanks so much. We're so happy you're with us. And please, folks, check it out. It's a wonderful product, Tales to Go, talestogo.com. Let me bring Susan on, my pal from New Hampshire, president of AASL, the American Association of School Libraries. How you doing?
I'm well. Susan, how are you, Larry?
I'm fine, my friend. It's good to hear your voice on the air. I must tell people, we couldn't get email contact back and forth the last couple of days, but that seems to have revived itself, huh?
Yes, it was some kind of gremlin holding us up. I don't know what went wrong.
Well, we're back to normal now. Mm-hmm. And how was Tucson? I know you were in Tucson this past weekend.
It was beautiful out there.
And I know you missed winter so much you came screaming back to Manchester NH, right?
Right. I missed the snow and the cold, so I did. I raced right back here after all that beautiful 70-degree weather.
Oh, man. And tell folks I know, because I hope you told Mark I said hello, but tell folks what you were doing in Tucson.
I was at a summit bringing together some educational thought leaders with folks from Follett Software and Library Resources. And as you mentioned, Mark Ray, a mutual friend of ours, was also at that. Yep.
He was on the show last week, and he was there. And by the way, since you mentioned it, Follett Software is a wonderful company. They're very good friends of mine, and I know that they're doing some great things with libraries, et cetera. So that is just terrific that you mentioned them, and I thank you for that. That was unexpected. We'll give them a plug, too, for goodness sakes. Okay, FollowedSoftware.com. I remember that because they sponsor so many shows of ours. So they're just a lovely company, I got to tell you. And we have a new sponsor today, Tales to Go. Check out the website, TalesToGo.com. It's really cool stuff, Susan.
Actually, I'm at it right now, checking it out, because I'm a real audio learner.
There you
go. I'm a listener. So.
Right.
Good stuff,
And I'm going to sign up for Tales to Go because my wife says I'm a bad listener. Can you imagine that? A husband being a bad listener, for goodness sakes. Susan Ballard, our guest and my friend, is the president of the AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, a part, a division of the American Library Association, which is located in Chicago, Illinois. Their Twitter address is at AASL, and their website is ala.org/AASL, but I usually just go to AASL.com. org, isn't that, doesn't that
yeah
work
you
too?
Can do that too.
Yeah, it does work, and I'll tell I love this is one of my favorite organizations because I love school libraries and they're always wind up getting the short shrift and they're too important for that to happen, for goodness sakes.
I think
you would agree with that more than likely.
I would, and I'd like to think that the tide is turning and that we're starting to see some nice indicators out there that people are recognizing that we really are the hub of learning.
You
and
are.
Provide, you know, flexible learning environments in schools and can make a difference.
Well, without question, they make a difference, and it makes a difference. And I just remember the old that Nancy used to send me the statistics from my old hometown of Philadelphia, how lousy the library situation is in Philadelphia public schools, and which is unbelievable to me considering I went all through K-12 Philadelphia public schools. But, you know, that situation has to change. We're letting a lot of kids down. We let the libraries down. You were just, besides Tucson for the conference with Follett, you were also, and Mark, who I hope had a good time on our show. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mark is chief of the library in Vancouver, Washington, and we did a show with him, and he's the NSBA is going to be having a visit to about educational innovation to the Vancouver, Washington school. So Mark's very involved in all this stuff.
Yes,
right?
He is, and he's kind of moved up the food chain into management for the Vancouver schools. But prior to that, he was an on the ground, you know, a school librarian, and he was named Washington's Teacher of the Year for 2011.
And you know what else I like about that? We'll get into what we're doing with AASL in a second, but what I like about it is that in they're not called school librarians in Washington. They're called teacher librarians.
Correct, yep.
And I love that. I just think that, because that's what you guys are, you know, for goodness sakes. And we had Steve Bell, by the way, on a couple of days ago, too.
Oh,
yeah. From ACRL, and I know you just recently saw him. Or, no, actually, you missed each other in Seattle at the ALA.
Yeah,
we
didn't catch up with one another.
Yeah, bummer.
It's kind of a condensed footprint of a conference, so the time is really crunched in.
Well, Seattle's a pretty good place. I'm sure you guys crunched over to Pike Street Market. But talk to me. I know that. Do you remember we had the conversation? I called it the Battle in Seattle, and it was how they're going to classify books in libraries. The Dewey Decimal System versus the way a bookstore would arrange it by alphabet and all that sort of thing. But how'd that go? Were you guys throwing books at each other or bookmarks or what?
It was standing room only. It was standing room only. And Mark was actually a panelist. He was one of the panelists that we invited to, you know, talk. And it was, as I said, people jammed that room. It was a very successful discussion group, and people really enjoyed listening to both sides of you. And then straight out of central casting came the new editor of the Dewey Decimal Classification Schedule. Saw that this was this discussion was taking place and was exhibiting, and so came up and also, you know, was part of the conversation in the room. So it was like the ghost of Melville Dewey showing up and saying, "Now, folks."
It's like Torquemada coming through with the Inquisition wearing a hood or something with two black candles around. Let me guess what side he was on, or she was it, he or she.
Well, it was interesting. I've asked several people. Now, of course, this got scheduled right against our AASL executive governing board meeting. The members of the board were not able to attend this. But all the reports we had were that participants found it very lively. And I think people are kind of coming to some kind of a middle ground. on things. You know, they still see the value in having Dewey because that is very portable for people. You know, you teach kids that system, and if they move to another community or go to use another
library,
it's
right there, right? Yeah.
Right. They
same.
Understand,
yeah.
You know, that language. At the same time, they do also want to make their collections more accessible and to kind of market parts of their collection, especially the fiction.
Well, that's interesting.
So I think people are thinking, you know, how can I keep the best of Dewey, keep Dewey, but at the same time take some of the best practices we've seen in bookstore models on how, you know, they can engage kids to make the collections more accessible. So I think people are kind of coming to a middle ground on this, but it's the discussion is not over. We're talking about having part two when we meet in Hartford, and in fact, a whole issue of our professional journal, Knowledge Quest, is going to be devoted to this topic now. Because it's
right,
so
and
awesome.
I want to keep up to this because I think you should market buttons that say Dewey at your own risk. Sorry, stupid joke. Right,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Stupid joke, you know. Right. It's actually an interesting thing because the libraries are one thing, bookstores are another, but people are – but you know what's happening is that bookstores are kind of leaving us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's going – not everybody, you know what I mean. Bricks and mortar is leaving us, and we're going more to Amazon by title. It's really an interesting changes out there. For
it is.
But,
and yet, you know –
at the end, was everybody still talking to everybody else?
Oh, yes. Everybody was speaking to one another. There were some folks who really got hot about the issue, but it was cordial enough, and no punches were thrown or anything.
And while the executive board was meeting, there were no like people like with pitchforks and torches going after people, right? So
no,
it worked
no.
Out
but
well.
Again, it is interesting, you know, as things evolve. But you know, it's interesting too that you mentioned that. You know, we're moving more from a brick and mortar to a more virtual way of accessing books and materials and all that. And yet, several of us who, again, we have just come back from Tucson, and we kind of did an informal thing, and we looked around us on the plane and saw more people reading hard copy paperbacks than I've seen in the past year.
An interesting observation. That is.
Well, I asked somebody next to me. I said, I see you're reading a paperback. I said, you know, is that your preferred thing? And they said, you know, I have a Kindle and I love it. Except when I travel, it's getting to be because they ask you to turn them off, and you're right in the middle.
Right, and also like my wife, who by the way is going to be presenting at AASL. I told you that, right?
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, and for PBS Learning Media, where she works, that's in November. And I will be there, Susan, and until we meet, as I told you, I look just like Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Right.
And I look like Angelina Jolie.
I believe that, and I'm going to be looking Angelina, okay? But at any rate, you know, my wife goes, and you know, it's always remembering the recharger and all this kind of stuff when she takes the Nook. She has a Nook, and you know, it's really different. The world is changing, and it's changing so fast. Maybe we're changing back again, for goodness
sake.
Well,
I don't know. I think sometimes I will say my nephews, who are in their mid to late 20s, have recently decided they're leaving Facebook, and they're unplugging to a degree. So I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe people are beginning to try and strike a middle ground again, strike a balance as opposed to being all or of one or all of the other. We'll see what happens.
We'll find out. It is a balance. Susan Ballard is president of the American Association of School Librarians, AASL, AASL.org, or at AASL if you want to tweet. We had mentioned when I was talking about Tales to Go, we had talked about Common Core and listening skills, and they do the audio books, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they do get the kids excited about reading. You were just mentioning that you're an audio person as well. But that all relates back to Common Core. So you must have been discussing this at some point over the last few weeks with all these meetings you're going to. What's the word on Common Core? I know that's what obviously school librarians are trying to be in the debate about.
Well, again, a lot of what the Common Core is about relates to the skill sets that school librarians have, because they're really about inquiry and getting kids to be able to do serious research and a shift to higher order thinking skills. So, you know, that is so part of so much a part of our DNA. So many school librarians are actively working with their learning communities, helping teachers through professional development, conducting workshops. Here's how you can implement some of the Common Core. And again, a lot of the Common Core is dealing with helping kids to understand complex text and to find appropriate reading materials for kids at different grade levels and, you know, meeting them where they are. So it's a challenge, but it's an exciting time because I think more and more teachers and administrators and parents are understanding and valuing the role of the school librarian in helping them align resources as well as develop instruction that will help to address what the Common Core is asking.
And, you know, the Common Core asks, since you phrase it that way, the Common Core asks a lot.
It does.
Okay. I mean, as we should. We should be challenged. But mm-hmm. it really asks a lot.
It is.
All right?
It's adding more rigor and more more challenge to the work that we ask kids to do now. I think the big...
Teachers and librarians, I might add.
And teachers and librarians. Yeah. Right now, the big stumbling block, I guess, is the assessment piece. Because the assessment piece requires schools to have a minimum of bandwidth and access to technology, and the testing, this is what the debate is about. There is a lot of testing. And again, I'm sure you're aware, since No Child Left Behind, the issue of testing has been something of concern to people. You know, are we over-testing the kids and not spending enough time on the learning? So, again, I'm one who hopes that we will find the balance in it because I think there is a lot in the Common Core that is good, but we don't want to lose it.
Exactly.
Because of the overemphasis on the testing.
And with the testing, I always say this about No Child Left Behind, okay? It was far from perfect, and I think
mm-hmm.
everybody would agree with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at least it set a line somewhere that people
mm-hmm.
could talk about,
mm-hmm.
okay? And nothing's perfect the first time.
No,
okay?
No.
But it always comes up. Which means that it sets some sort of standard, and we may want to change it, but it gives you something, I hate to say this, to argue about.
Yeah, well, it certainly did give us a lot to argue about. But I do think the Common Core is very, very interesting. It will be interesting to see how the implementation goes. Now, there are four states not using the Common Core, but I think, nonetheless, a lot of what we will see happening in those states will be pretty similar, nonetheless.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
because those states, while they may be a bit rebellious, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
about Common Core, they know that their citizens are going to move place to place to place over the coming years, and kids are going to come in from
right.
other places. So, they may be a little bit rebellious. There's a little bit of rebellion in my soul, too, but eventually we all kind of swing towards the middle
right.
When this stuff happens. You know, what about the e-books and digital content and that sort of thing? And actually, you know, I never thought about this. We brought it up with Tales to Go today. But the listening skills are important, but how does an audio book, this is interesting, fit into the e-book digital content versus printed? Where's that fit in that spectrum? That's kind of cool. I never thought about that before.
From my perspective right now as a librarian who tries to provide resources that are shared resources, for example, the business model that Tales to Go has is one that's very appealing to me because I can make those resources available to multiple kids at multiple times.
Right.
What we are struggling with in terms of e-book content is right now publishers are not providing what we would call the library models that we need to see so that we can make content accessible to multiple people at multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's right. That's all over the map. I know ALA is in discussion with many of the the publishers, because it's a game changer right now in terms of how we deliver content to our end users.
Right.
If the publisher says, yes, I will sell you this book, but you can only have it on one device at a time, or you must, if you want to circulate it 50 times, you have to pay for it 50 times. Those kinds of things. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And, you know, and when I talked to Steve Bell, your colleague and president of ACRL, the College and Research Librarians,
yes,
the higher education side and the business side, so to speak, of the library business, okay, they're going through at that level, and how,
absolutely,
you know, we all know how important research is up there. They're going through the hammers of hell, too, in terms of you know, how many people can see the research report, how many times, and what's going on, and the whole world of the publisher is changing. But they have to know that libraries, and particularly in your case, school libraries, that's their bread and butter.
Exactly.
That's their bread and butter.
I would hope in terms of some content, especially content that you wouldn't consider the popular cultural content, again, and I can really feel for my colleagues at the college and research level, because this is fundamentally changing everything about how they develop collections, how we develop collections. You know, what the main thing it's about is not just what people read, but how they read it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. What we were talking about before, even, okay, on the airplane, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on the airplane.
Exactly. Yeah,
I must ask, was Michelle Lutola in Seattle?
She was in Seattle, yes, she was.
She was, okay. I always consider Michelle to be one of the premier librarians. She's at New Canaan High School in Connecticut, okay?
Right, and she's very edgy.
I was just going to say, she's always on the cutting edge, okay?
She is.
Which leads me to the next question, because I can't imagine her being silent about this. What's the percentage, okay, in a typical school library of e-books versus print? How's that, where's the balance going to be? Where is it now? I'm sure this is an ongoing argument. There's no answer. But
there isn't any answer right now.
Yeah.
And this is something that is evolving, but we are getting more and more inquiries from schools as they relook at where they're spending their dollars, and they're having to make decisions. Do I continue to invest in physical format, or do I go more to digital format? And if I do that, you know, again, what are the percentages? So we are in the process of trying to establish some guidelines for people to help them to deal with that, but nothing can be hard and fast in an arena where there's such pervasive change all the time, you know?
Right.
We can't say, yes, you should have X number of devices, you know, Kindles or Nooks or this or that. It's too nebulous right now to say that, or you should, you know, this is what percentage of your collection should be digital, this should remain physical. We know there are some places who are going to all digital, and we know there are some places that are trying to, you know, stay half and half. And I think we have a working group right now that's going to take a serious look at those issues and try and create some simple guidelines for people to consider as they look at how they're spending their development dollars. But it's hard right now.
It is hard. Did you guys start? I would be remiss if I didn't say this. March 14th is the deadline for E-rates. Okay, you're probably familiar with that, Susan.
Right.
Okay.
I used to do the E-rate in my school district. Right.
Boy, then you know, and actually you'll appreciate my next comment. John's on my show all the time to talk about it. John Harrington, I don't know if you know John, is president of Funds for Learning, and they do E-rate consulting. And it's fundsforlearning.com, and I just want to say this, because we're just talking about digital and all that. If a school's having trouble figuring out how to fill out what looks like an income tax form for their E-rates, okay, companies like Funds for Learning will help you. The deadline is coming up on March 14th, and you cannot be without your full account of E-rates, right, Susan?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I did E-rate for my school district for many years. And as I was leaving, in the process of trying to transition that knowledge to the next person who looked at me and just kind of thought, oh, this can't be that bad. And then when I left him on his own to do it, he was in a, it was awful. He did come to appreciate when I told him, this is, I don't care if you have a master's degree, this is not easy. So yeah, you if you're going for E-rate, you have to have your ducks in a row and make sure.
And March 14th is the deadline.
March 14th
is the deadline.
I never waited for that deadline. I would try to get it in a week in advance because everybody is hammering at the same website on the same day, and you get drop off and drop out, and you lose half of what you've just entered. So plan ahead if you're doing E-rate.
Well, John just sent me. He just sent me as a joke, which I loved. He sent me his E-rate stress kit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
From Funds for Learning, in this really cool box as a stress ball. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It has something looks like a mouse pad or something, and
mm-hmm.
a couple of bags of cashews and M&Ms for those long nights filling out the form.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
But I'm telling you, you can't, if you're a school librarian, okay, work with your school to make sure you get every dollar of the E-rate that is coming to you. That's the whole point. Okay,
yes,
the world
exactly.
is changing, and speaking of digital education, that's where it's all going, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I got to talk to you. Because I asked you to send me a list of some questions you wanted me to ask you, and my favorite one, you know where I'm going with this, I think, was in the recent issue of Knowledge Quest, which is I love that name, by the way. It sounds like Galaxy Quest, the old movie with Tim Allen. Okay, the professional journal Knowledge Quest, AASL's monthly publication, Getting to Know Graphic Novels. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Read comic books in school. Sorry, graphic novelist. Read comic books in school. I remember getting detentions for that.
Really?
Okay.
Well, wow.
Sure. Well, I went to school. The Dewey was Mr. Dewey, who invented it, was the kid next to me passing me notes. That's how old I am. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But talk. That's not true. I'm not as old as Dewey. That's not true. That was a joke. Okay. All right. So talk to me. Graphic novels. Where are they fitting in these days in schools?
Well, you can map a lot of graphic novels straight up against the curriculum, and they can be the basis of helping kids to connect to content in the curriculum and to prepare themselves for the literacy demands that are out there. Graphic novels, I think the person who edited this particular issue of Knowledge Quest, Karen Gavigan, who's from the University of South Carolina, I'm just going to see if I can find a quote for her, because it was just, it's not the question of whether or not school librarians should use them in schools and libraries, but how can graphic novels, including
Perfect.
Nonfiction graphic novels, best be used to support curriculum and develop lifelong readers? So that was the crux upon which the particular issue was structured, and we have gotten so much positive feedback about
this I'll
particular
bet.
Issue. Yeah, people are really seeing that graphic novels can engage reluctant readers, but they can also have really serious content that is accurate and informative for kids as they're learning about things. I can tell you, Larry, I remember a study that was done quite a number of years ago, and this would have been during the golden age of comics, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. The kids who were reading comic books back then were developing an incredible vocabulary compared to their peer group because
wow.
of all the scientific information, you know, in those sci-fi and Superman and all that, all those scientific discoveries that were being discussed, and, you know, atomic things and nuclear
right.
things, those kids developed incredibly high-level vocabularies for their age groups. And follow-up studies showed that a lot of those, especially young men, went into engineering and science careers and all of that. So I think people need to pay attention to how those kinds of engaging materials can really help to foster learning in so many ways.
And you know, when I was a kid, I loved Superman and Batman and all. Actually, Superboy was my favorite, I will tell you that. But one of the things I used to read, and they're not around anymore, were what was called Classics Illustrated.
I remember those. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they
like
were comic books.
Like Tale of Two Cities or something like that.
Exactly, and I actually read, it sounds silly perhaps, but I read, and I can answer Jeopardy questions based on from Classics Illustrated, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
And that,
well,
that,
maybe somebody should
that was a graphic novel in its time. I mean, obviously
mm-hmm.
they're different.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Those were the graphic novels of their time, and now you know, kids are really enjoying that form, not just as literature, but also as an art form too, with a lot of the illustrations
Great
and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Well, I have NAEA, the Art Educators Association, on a lot. Deborah Reeve is their executive director. I'm going to have to tell her that you said that because she will love hearing that.
Well, it is. It's true. And
but
I think
true.
Kids, too, need to not only be literate in terms of text, but they need to be able to look at visual elements and be able to interpret the symbolism and the information that's being conveyed through those forms, too. So I'm a great believer in showing kids a photograph, say, from the Civil War and saying, what's going on here, you know, and having them look at, you know, some of the elements of photography or artwork and trying to see, you know, what was the artist trying to convey or the photographer, what were they capturing in that. So, yeah, I think visual literacy is, in a visual society such as ours, is a must.
And you know, I'll tell you, and all of this, and it brings us back to this Common Core thing, listening, mm-hmm. visual, being
mm-hmm.
able to write out and explain. I do a lot of work with NCTE, the Teachers
mm-hmm.
of English Association. You know,
right.
all these sort of things. And to get back to our show today, the library is the real crux of all this. You know, because
mm-hmm.
today when we say library, we're really saying media tech center. You know,
right.
you're getting the word out to everybody, okay?
Right.
It's unbelievable. Listening skills. I mean, it's just absolutely – this is why it's actually outlining what we need to do. Which
Correct.
Is really
it's
pretty
where,
cool when you think of
right.
as big a pain in the tush as it is. Okay, it's really going to do something good, I think, in the end. I hope.
I am hopeful for that. Absolutely.
I know you are. What's the next thing coming up for AASL? I know you just had the thing in Seattle. You went to Tucson.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, we have ALA annual. Will be in Chicago in June.
Right.
And,
right.
We're thrilled. I don't know if I mentioned this before. We're thrilled that my president's program, the main speaker will be Jonathan Kozel.
I think you did mention death at an early age. Didn't we talk
death
about
death at an
that?
Early age? Yes.
Wow.
And he has
from
a new 19 book out.
19 what 69 70.
Oh yeah, right in the late
73 whatever
right,
it was.
Right. It was. He won the National Book Award and
that was
for that,
huge. That was,
it was
huge,
huge.
That book. I mean,
and
that book went wider than education.
That oh, yes,
book
absolutely.
Was a sociological treatise on education.
It really
and
was.
And popular and number one bestseller and all that sort
oh,
of stuff.
Oh, yes. And he has continued
wow.
to, you know, champion the cause of urban education and to, you know, kind of hold up the mirror to our society and point out where we have failed a number of kids and families. But his latest book is called Fire from the Ashes. He's been following a group of students and their families for a number of years and continuing to write about them. And it's a very interesting book, and I'm delighted that he will be there because I think that's the other element about education is that caring factor and helping kids to understand that they have a safe place to come to in schools and in libraries and
yeah.
that people care about them and we want them to succeed. So I'm thrilled he will be our the president's program speaker.
And that's
Chicago.
ALA. That's all librarians.
That is,
librarians.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
all librarians.
Does that have a big contingent from AASL? Do a lot of AASLers go there?
Yeah, we do because we have an organization within AASL called the Affiliate Assembly, and those are delegates from each of our affiliate organizations in each of the states. For example, New Hampshire School Library Media Association, and for Mark, the Washington School Library Media Association, they send representatives to bring concerns and issues and challenges and discuss them as a community so that as an organization we can address some of the areas that we need to work on or that are important to us. And so, yeah, we do get quite a good representation.
Good. Excellent.
So we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, in November, we will be in Hartford. And you mentioned that you will be there, too, with your wife, who's going to be doing
it. I will be.
Yeah. And so we're excited about Hartford. We have.
And I have to say something. Hartford might seem dull if people don't know that Hartford is a pretty good city. I mean, it's really a pretty good city, and it's great historically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It is.
And it's a good place, and you can get there from New York City. You can fly into Bradley International Airport, for goodness sakes, and get
right.
there.
Right. Well, and Amtrak is.
And Amtrak, thank you, and Amtrak.
Amtrak is right across the street. The central Amtrak station is right across the street from the convention center. So, and it's a
state of the art. And the convention center, Carolyn's been there. She said it's a beautiful convention center with a beautiful hotel.
State-of-the-art convention center.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, I'm delighted being a New Englander.
Right.
In
Me
New
too,
England.
By the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking. I think it's going to be very successful. And so right now our two main keynoters are set. We have Tony Wagner coming in from Harvard. And he's going to be our opening general session speaker. And we also have a number of authors who will be, you know, of course, there. And then Peter Bregman is going to talk about, be our closing general session speaker.
Wow.
And we have some, you know, some educational tours planned, of course, to the Mark Twain House and Harriet Beecher Stowe.
I was just going to say Harriet Beecher Stowe, right.
Right, right. And conference committee is right now vetting proposals for concurrent sessions, but I'm sure we're going to have a lot of great concurrent sessions.
Well, make sure you approve the one from PBS Learning Media.
We'll make sure that they approve that one. I'm sure they will.
Big stamp rejected. You know, I can see it on there now. You know, big red stamp rejected with a...
So anyway, that should be good that... we will be there.
By the way, that just so people know, AASL.org is where all this is mentioned. But Rising to the Challenge, which is the title of the National Conference and Exhibition, is November 14th to the 17th, which seems like a long time for now. But on November 13th, we'll say already.
I know,
yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm hoping weather will still be good in that part of in the deep south of New England.
Sure will be. Sure.
It'll be getting a little chilly up here, perhaps, but I think Connecticut will still be pretty
Connecticut's always so good. When you live in New Hampshire or Maine, like you and I do, for goodness sakes, you go to Hartford to get away from it all in the winter. It's like for spring break, for goodness
sakes.
It is.
It's true. It's true.
But, you know. Anyway, Susan, as always, I love you dearly, and we're going to have you on many times over the next over the course of 2013. You be the best, I got to tell you.
Oh, thank you so much. I always enjoy listening and talking with you, too, Larry.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's a mutual admiration society, and
it is.
I will get back. I will get
I'm
back
so,
to you
I'm
shortly,
delighted.
And have a good day in Manch Vegas, for goodness' sake.
Okay, you too.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye, Susan Ballard. I just love that woman. She is like the best librarian in the world. Her and Michelle Lutola, they're close. They're in New England. Susan Ballard, president of the AASL, okay, American Association of School Librarians, part of the ALA. And you can go to ala.org/AASL, but frankly, you can go to AASL.org, and they tweet, and we'll tweet this out to them as well, at AASL. And Tales to Go is our sponsor. We had a great, that was a great conversation about audiobooks and all that. Tales to Go, and that's TALES, the number 2, G-O, all as one word, Tales to Go, knows that listening to audiobooks is a great way to get kids excited about and skilled at reading, and among the many benefits, listening builds critical fluency, vocabulary, and listening skills, okay? In fact, studies show that adding a listening component, this is what Susan was saying, to reading instruction, increases student achievement. Moreover, Common Core outlines specific listening requirements in each grade level. It really is important. In a world where school libraries are transforming into the media centers, feeding desktops and laptops and mobile devices in the classroom and beyond, Tales to Go is the 21st century way to access and play audiobooks. Tales to Go is a Pandora-like audiobook service for schools, giving educators and students instant and unlimited access to thousands of name-brand titles from leading publishers for one low annual price. It's really pretty cool. And with Tales to Go, thousands of students can listen to the same book at the same time. Sound good? Start a free 30-day trial at www.talestogo.com. Okay, again, that's T-A-L-E-S, the number 2, then G-O, talestogo.com. And 30-day free trial. Can't go wrong. Check it out. It's really great stuff. Thank you, Will, for sponsoring today's show over at Tales to Go. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Susan Ballard. You are, as always, wonderful, AASL. Okay, we mentioned fundsforlearning.com. We mentioned filetsoftware.com. All good friends of school libraries. Tales to Go sponsored today's show. We really appreciate that. We're going to archive it over at education-talkradio.org, and we're going to tweet it out at EduTalk Radio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio, and you folks have a great day. Check our schedule. It's on the website. You'll see we got some great shows coming up.